A virtue is a deeply rooted and firm tendency or habit to do good. There are some virtues which are natural, which we can acquire by our own effort, such as the natural moral virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, and all the other virtues related to these four cardinal virtues. There are also infused supernatural virtues, which, since their source is grace and not merely human effort, become meritorious. The moral virtues we just mentioned can be elevated by grace and become supernatural and meritorious as well. Among the infused supernatural virtues, distinct from and higher than the moral virtues we mentioned, are the theological virtues, which are higher because their object is God Himself. By the object of a virtue, we mean the thing with which the virtue principally deals. The object of the virtue of justice, for example, is that which is due to either your neighbor or God. The object of the virtue of temperance is the pleasure of the senses. The object of the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity is God Himself. By these virtues, we are not just doing some moral action by means of which we perfect our human nature and grow closer to God like the moral virtues. They put us in touch, so to speak, with God Himself. It is a direct line between me and God. We should point out that we can use the word faith in multiple ways. There is the content of our religious faith, which consists of the necessary truths we must believe for salvation. This is what we mean when we say, for example, that someone really knows the faith. Then there is the act of faith, which is a grace, by which we believe God because He is truth itself and can neither deceive nor be deceived. We can be said to make natural acts of faith all the time, by which we believe, say, an expert in a certain field. We choose to make an act of the intellect and will, entrusting ourselves to another for some legitimate reason, like their superior knowledge. But with God it is infinitely more warranted, since God is the very source of truth. We're not considered foolish when we place our faith in our parents, or doctors, or airplane pilots. Our faith in their knowledge and ability is, for the most part, warranted. Even if we have no idea how to fly a plane, people don't say you are foolishly putting blind faith in the pilot. We have perfectly good reasons to put our faith in him or her. But when it comes to religious faith, some are under the impression that believing something without understanding it is ridiculous and an abandonment of your reason. And yet it is infinitely more rational and sane than trusting the airline pilot. A pilot can err, become deranged, be impaired. Whereas God, being truth itself and the source of all things both natural and supernatural, cannot err about anything. So the theological virtue of faith is that by which we make an assent of our intellect and will, prompted and aided by grace, to believe everything God reveals to us. And not because we have reasoned through it and find it worthy of our belief, but because the one who reveals cannot be in error. And since we have already explained Christ's institution of the Church and the function of the magisterium when it comes to defining matters of faith, and the gift of the Holy Spirit which preserves the Church from error in these matters, we can expand our definition to say that faith is a grace by which we assent to everything God reveals to us and is proposed to us by the Church, because the Church does not add to revelation, but preserves and defends it and articulates it for our understanding. Since the virtue of faith is a grace, it cannot be merited or acquired. It is given to us first in baptism. To know the faith is not synonymous with having the virtue of faith. Someone might be very well versed in all the truths of the faith intellectually, but still lack the grace of faith. Likewise, a very simple-minded person might have very little ability to explain any of the truths of the faith, but have very profound faith. It's true that we first need to hear the preaching of the gospel in order to dispose us to the grace of faith, and studying the truths of the faith further disposes our minds to receive this grace, but grace comes from God freely and not on account of our effort. Some of the saints were seemingly naturally disposed from their childhood to be deep in faith, like St. Thérèse. Others, like St. Augustine, went through a long and arduous intellectual and moral journey before they were disposed to receive the grace of faith. Others, like St. Paul, were converted in an instant by an overwhelming act of God's grace. And countless others, unknown to history, lived the constant struggle to foster and strengthen the initial grace of faith by prayer and study, being burdened by and then overcoming doubts. But in its essence, the grace of faith is always the same. It is God illuminating our minds and elevating our wills to place all our belief and trust in Him, because nothing could be more true than what God reveals to us about Himself.